Hey, Latinos Who Launch audience. I have a couple of questions for you guys. Do you guys own a small business? Are you hiring? Have you been having problems finding the right candidates for your business? You know, that great talent that will make your business very successful. Well, that is not a problem anymore because with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then, their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anybody else. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out why today ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all size to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, gratis, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. Que no se les olvide. Hi, this is Babelito.
And this is Favi Fav, and you're listening to a Mordida Minisode, a small bite in between our full episodes to tide you over until next Thursday.
Take it away, vámonos!
Woo! Mordida! Mordida! Mordida!
Mordida!
Mordida!
Que show, Babelito here talking to you guys from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And for this mordida, I thought I will do something special since my time in New Mexico is almost over, sadly. And I figure that who can be the best guest to talk about my stay here in New Mexico and to tell me a little bit more about how important and amazing is this place than my roommate. You know her as La Judy, because we've talked about La Judy in other episodes, but her name is Judith Espinosa. Hi, Judy. How are you?
Hello, Emmanuel. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien. I'm so full. Oh, my God, you guys. We had an amazing meal. Why don't you tell everybody what we just ate?
Okay, we ate papas enchiladas.
¿Qué es eso?
I bet nobody knows what papas enchiladas are because they are an invention of my grandmother and my mother and my family, and all the women make them in my family. It's like making enchiladas, only not with tortillas, but with papas.
You guys, if you ever in New Mexico, call me. I might give you the address of Judy because these papas enchiladas are out of this world. Like, I had so many. And we just finished eating, but the papas enchiladas stayed in the table because they are that good. So what else did we just eat?
With chile colorado. Okay, the papas.
Yes.
Well, we had green chili with milk and cheese, and it was hot and delicious.
We were sweating nonstop. It was crazy.
My eyebrows are still sweating.
We're a mess.
And I am albóndigas, mm-hmm. And beans, refried beans with hueritos.
What are chiles hueritos like?
Chiles hueritos are yellow chilies, and they look like jalapenos. They're not quite as hot as jalapenos, but they're hot. And my father used to make this dish all the time.
Your grandfather?
My father.
Your father used to cook a lot, or who was the cook in your family?
Well, the cook in my family was my mother, like all the women in the family. But my father used to cook. He cooked really good. He made guisos. This was one of my father's guisos with refried beans and hueritos. And, you know, he made it for my sister Consuelo while she was pregnant. That's all she ever ate was hueritos con frijoles and queso.
I had once hueritos en Juárez. They were stuffed with shrimp. Pero no me los pude comer. They were so freaking hot. Yes. Wow. These were perfect in the beans. But tell me more about your family. Like, where's your family from?
Wait a minute. I have to tell you about the galletas. Digas de los galletas. Okay. Galletas are what my grandmother and my mother used to make. We call them galletas. They're like biscuits. Uh-huh. I know galletas are cookies in Spanish, but these are not cookies. These are like biscuits. They're like kind of flatter biscuits, and they're so good, even if I say so myself.
It's true. I mean, they're like biscuits, but better. Because when you add the Mexican DNA to things, everything is better. Okay, so tell us about your family. I know, did you grow up in Albuquerque or?
Yes, I grew up in Albuquerque with my sister, my only sister, just the two of us. My dad's family is from Chihuahua originally. Mm-hmm. His uncle had a rancho in Chihuahua, in Casas Grandes, which is in the state of Chihuahua in Mexico. But his father came up to the States when his father was younger and stayed in Silver City, and he grew up in Silver City, and my dad was born there. Mm-hmm. My mother's family is originally, my grandmother's family is from Mexico City.
I didn't know that.
Isque, her father came from Spain and up through Mexico City. She had cousins in Mexico City. And then they came up to Juarez. And she was born in Juarez, although she said she was born in El Paso. But we all know she was born in Juarez. And then they came into Las Cruces, New Mexico, which is in southern New Mexico. And that's where she's from. And my mother was born in Deming, New Mexico, and grew up in Silver City and that area.
And this reminds me of an episode that we had probably last year, because the expression tiene nopal en la frente, mm-hmm. we talk about it before, and how people make fun of Mexicans that don't speak Spanish. But when I hear your story, I understand that things are much more complicated. So when you tell me about your mother that was born, your mother was born in El Paso, in Juarez, but not, it was El Paso mm-hmm. or vice versa, mm-hmm. that's part of it. So like your family raised you guys to also more in the U.S. way, but it's specific reasons, right? We talk about this all the time.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, and that's why my grandmother said, like, she was from New Mexico and from El Paso because she didn't want to be from Juarez because it was, you know, Mexicans were never liked or loved in this country. Let's put it that way.
Correct.
There's always been a discrimination against Mexicanos, even though this used to be our territory. Hello. But, you know, in those days, too, there was no border. So it was just people coming back and forth and going back and forth. And before the Immigration Act and the early 20th century, there was no borders. So my parents knew a lot of discrimination, even in Silver City, where they grew up. There were a lot of cowboys and ranchers and stuff there and people like that. And they were always discriminated. You know, a lot of it was very discriminatory and they were always meant to feel badly.
So raising your kids to be Americans, raising your kids to not speak Spanish was not just, it's not a rejection of your culture. It's a form of survival.
Oh, no, it is. I mean, because, you know, they were proud to be Americans and they loved this country and they wanted the American dream. Like everybody who comes here and wants to stay here, they want the American dream. And they were very proud of being Mexicanos. They always said, we're Mexicans, you're a Mexican. Be proud of it. Don't let anybody tell you there's anything wrong with that, because people are going to tell you like Mexicans are like dogs and Mexicans are bad and Mexicans blah blah blah. But they always said, be proud of who you are and where you came from, and you're Mexicana. And so that's what we grew up with. My sister and I always grew up with that.
And those are principles that I know you ¿cómo se dice? Inculcar, that you also raise your daughter with. And for those of you who don't know, Judy's daughter is one of my best friends. It's my best friend, Madalena. And Madalena was part of our episodes, De Green Chile y Brujas. And we talked about the identity of being from Nuevo Mexico. We talked about many things in that episode. But when I met Madalena, she was very involved with organizations at school, El Grupo de la Raza, et cetera, et cetera. And that comes from you. That comes from you and your family, this idea of being raised, even though you're raised to survive in this gringo world, mm-hmm. you're also raised to be very proud of your roots.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, our parents didn't speak Spanish to us because they didn't want us to have an accent, because they said if we had an accent, then people would discriminate against us, and then we wouldn't learn English good. And then we would be, you know, we couldn't get to go to college, and we wouldn't be able to finish high school. And it, you know, I mean, it was a whole thing for them. It was very important for them that we finished high school and we went to college, because they never got the opportunity to do that. And so, you know, they spoke to us in English, even though we learned Spanish, because they used to speak to each other in Spanish, yeah. and they used to speak to the family, and we'd get together with the family and all the cousins and the aunties and everybody was speaking Spanish.
This is from your family, is from when I learned the expression, pobrecita.
Pobrecita.
Yes, which we talked about it also in the podcast. But, okay, so you went to college. You went to college here in New Mexico and also in UCLA. You've had so many incredible badass jobs. Why don't you tell the youth out there, what are some of the things that you've done for the state of New Mexico? Because you are famous in this state, and people know who you are, and people know that all the work, the hard work that you put for all these years. So why don't you tell everybody what some of the jobs that you had?
Well, you know, I was cleaning out my closet and my files. You saw me doing that. And I'm going, yes. And I keep taking out these things and I go, oh, look, I remembered I did that. I can't. Well, I became a lawyer. And I practiced law for about 3 years because I had to. I was a single parent, and Madalena was my only child, is my only child. And so, you know, I had to survive. So I practiced law, which I really didn't like too much. But I did a lot of, I worked with legal aid, and I worked with the women's shelter for domestic violence. But then circumstances that just kind of fell in my lap, my cousin, who was a judge here, recommended me to the governor for a job, and I became the Secretary of Transportation. And of course, like, I was the first woman to do that, but I think I was like 34 years old when I did that. And, you know, women doing transportation was like bizarre.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, and because there were no women who had done that. And so from there, it kind of developed. After that, I went to work for Westinghouse Corporation, and then I worked for the city of Albuquerque as a manager there, putting together the air pollution programs and vehicle emissions programs. And then I went back to Santa Fe and worked for the governor, being the Secretary of Environment. And that's when I got to also meet Bill Clinton, the president, and he appointed me to a presidential commission on sustainable development, which was an international commission for the United States. So it was very cool.
And you travel all over the place with that job, right?
Oh, yeah. I traveled all over and got to meet a lot of, at that time, very important people.
That's cool.
I got to meet all the CEOs of the oil and gas companies like Enron and Georgia Pacific and all of these big oil company guys from Exxon and everything, and Texas and all over the world. It was fascinating for me. It was amazing. And then I ran a research institute at the University of New Mexico that dealt with transportation and environment and smart growth. And but all through this, I just have to say, my whole time doing all of this, I always did social justice, environmental justice,
yeah.
and always. I always pushed for those who were impoverished and those who could not afford transportation and those who, you know, had environmental insults into their neighborhoods and into their areas of living.
And Judith also was one of the founding members of the Hispanic Cultural Center. And actually, Favi is going to have a piece in a show that is coming up in the Hispanic Cultural Center. So, you know, Favi's work is infiltrating in this Mordida, even though it's not about him right now. But also, you gave me one of my first jobs in New Mexico, which was being the director of the Hispanic Arts Gallery.
That's right, yeah. At the Expo New Mexico, which is the state exposition area here in Albuquerque, and we do the state fair, and during the state fair we have a big art exhibit. And that's right, you were hired to put it together for me. It was so cool.
It was so cool and so interesting because I asked Judy, what should I do? What she's like, lo que quieras, like paint the walls, colors, like do whatever you want. And I'm like, okay.
And everybody was shocked, Canon. They were all freaked out. They're like, why are you painting the walls? They should be white. And I went, oh, for God's sake.
Yes.
It was an Hispanic art exhibition. And so, you know, why would you have the walls white all the time? Mm-hmm. And you know what? Now they paint the walls all the time, different colors.
We started a trend. That's us.
We're so cool.
Exactly. And it was a great experience because that was the first time for me where I got to see New Mexico identity being performed, actually happening in front of my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you that question. Being from New Mexico, being raised to be proud of who you are as a Mexicana, how have you dealt with these big jobs? How have you dealt with the quote-unquote Hispanics of the state?
Well, you know, I never liked that terminology, Hispanics, okay, since it was first introduced by the Nixon administration back in the 70s, uh-huh, during the census. And that's when they didn't know what to call us, because some of us were from Latin America, some of us were from Mexico, some of us were born here, some of us, like in northern New Mexico, said that they were Spanish. And so you have all these different Latinos around the country, and the government doesn't know what to call us, and so they called us Hispanic. And so, you know, I mean, my mother always, and my father too, but he was more quiet than my mother, but she was more like out front. She said, like, when I came to Albuquerque to live, your father and I came to Albuquerque from Silver City, and we were always Mexicanos. And when we came here, everybody told us they were Spanish. But nobody spoke Spanish, and nobody wanted to speak Spanish. Yeah. And so she said, I don't know what's up with that, but these people are not Spanish. They're like the rest of us. We all came, and we all, you know, are mezclados, and we're all, you know, indios and Mexicans and Spanish and whatever. We were all mixed together people.
Correct.
And we call ourselves La Raza.
Exactly. That's, yeah.
And my parents always referred to us and our raza as La Raza. That's what we knew. That's what we grew up with.
And also, so what about, I'm curious, because we were talking about yesterday, we were talking about how sometimes people, you had a male secretary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they will introduce you as the secretary of transportation, and people thought it was the guy who was the secretary. But you it's like different layers. It's not only you were a woman, but you were also Hispanic, but you were not Hispanic, you were Mexicana, you were La Raza doing this job. So I wondered if there were any challenges with those identities being part of your job.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think here's the big challenge. The big challenge was because I had to be in those jobs more conservative than what I really was.
Yeah.
And not that I didn't, you know, not that I denied my culture, but I didn't go around saying I was a Chicana. I didn't go around saying that I was Raza. Because, you know, to survive and to stay in those positions, yeah, and to get policy done and to push,
right,
the agenda that's better for New Mexico than what was there before, you know, you have to kind of play that down. You have to ensure that you're telling people how it is and how it should be and why you need to move forward with policies that are going to assist people in need, and they're going to assist elder people and people on the border without being too hostile about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's important. That's actually, we know that today is code switching, where you're sure of your identity and you are a Mexicana with your family and your friends and this is who you are. But unfortunately, because our presence in many spaces means something sometimes negative, you have to code switch in order to get the job done.
Yeah, and the other thing is, though, if somebody insulted me or my raza or my gente, I didn't let it lie. I mean, there were times where people, you know, because I can pass because I'm Huera, and a lot of times people didn't know that I was Mexicana or that I was Hispanic.
Quote-unquote.
Hispanic, quote-unquote, yes. And so they would tell me things about, well, you know those Mexicans, and they just don't take care of their land, and they just don't. You know who would say that are all those environmentalists that would come in here from different parts of the country, and they'd come to New Mexico, and they'd be like, oh, like the ranchers and the rancheros who were Mexicanos mm-hmm. up north or had ranchers or farms in New Mexico, and they would say like, oh, they don't take care of their lands and they're not environmentally sensitive and they don't know what they're doing. And I'd go, well, what are you talking about? And they'd go, well, you know how those people are. And I go, no, I don't know how those people are. Those are my people. What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Some person back east from New York said, like, we need to take all the cattle off the land. This is not good for our environment. We have to take the cows off the land and we have to stop people from ranching. And I went, you got to be kidding me. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, we have been ranching and farming these lands for over 500, 600 years before you people ever went to Plymouth Rock. I said, you're not going to do that. And I'm not going to help you do it. No.
That's so cool. That's so badass.
God. And they looked at me like, oh, well, you don't look Mexican. And you're like, what the hell does that mean? I don't look Mexican.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Oh, it drives me
man,
crazy.
Los neoliberales son lo mismo aquí y en China. It's the same stuff, man.
It's amazing.
It is incredible. And I think it's so important to have our presence in those spaces, because I bet that you interrupted that day for them. I bet that you interrupted their way of thinking, and you must have changed something because, you know, you got a lot of things done.
Well, I think I got a lot of things done. I believe I did. I mean, for the first time when I was in the environment department, we got serious about the border and about looking at some of the problems on the border and how people were living and didn't have health care and didn't have transportation and were environmentally insulted by dump yards and all kinds of medical waste facilities and bad air, and because they didn't care because they were poor Mexicans living on the border. And so nobody really cared about that. So I was very proud of that. You know, I was finding in my closet the reports. I'm like, mira nomás.
Oh my God, this is so cool. We can talk. We should do another mordida. I'm going to come back after I move to Las Vegas.
You say continue. That, but do you mean it?
Vas a ver que sí. I'll be back. Any final thoughts that you want to tell to young Latinas, young women of color that are going into these jobs that you're not expected to go? What will you say to them?
I say to them, be arrogant. Just be arrogant. I mean, don't even care if people stare at you, which they will when you walk into the room and you're the only one of your color there. Mm-hmm. Don't even care if this is not a job that a woman has never done. And you know what? Don't care if you've never done a job like this and you don't have the background to do it. What I say is, you're smart, you're bright, you can learn how to do these jobs. It doesn't take Einstein, it doesn't take a genius to learn how to do these jobs. Mm-hmm. You can get these jobs and you can do these jobs, and just be very arrogant about it, because really, in the end, that's what everybody else does. That's what all the men do. I mean, look at what happens with all the gringos. They don't care if they've never heard of this or learned of that or had education about it. We are always so worried about, ooh, I don't have the education, or I don't have the training, or I don't know, or ooh, look at that person over there. They're like a big time, you know, CEO or whatever. Forget it. You're just as smart as they are.
And that's so important. That's one of the biggest lessons I take with me, because that's one of the first things you told me when I first moved here. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Like, I'm going to start being so like, ay, muchas gracias. Y muchas gracias por esto. I'm going to start acting for what I'm worth. Mm-hmm. And I started to do that, and it's working.
Yeah, it
and
is.
It's so, yeah, because I'm worth, I work very hard for this degree, and I work very hard for what I have to become an expert in my field. And I'm going to start acting like it, because otherwise, again, there will be abuelito or abuelita coming and taking the job, and they don't know anything.
Yeah. And you know what? They're going to offer them more money than you. Exactly. And when they offer you money, and like I would go home every once in a while when I wanted to get a contract or a job or something like that, and they would offer me this amount of money, and I'd go home and I'd think like, oh yeah, I'll take that. And then I'd go home and I'd go, wait a minute, why would I take that when that guy I know is getting more, and when that other person is going to walk in there and they're going to pay him more than they are me? And I would go back and I'd go, you know what? I'll take this job if you give me XXXXX, and I have to do this and this. And I would tell him, I'm a single mother, and if something happens to my daughter, I have to go. I have to go be with her. I have to go help. You know, I have to be there for her. I said, so, you know, if you want to hire me with those kind of things, then go ahead. But those are my demands. Really, yeah. That's what I need.
And you're worth it.
And you know what? Once in a while, they would say no, and that's okay. I'd go. And then you have to learn just to walk away. When they say, I'm sorry, we can't do that, then you go, okay, I'm sorry, I can't take your job.
Bye.
Because, you know, some of the times I knew they were offering me a position because they needed a token. And sometimes, and I didn't care. You know why I didn't care? Because I knew if I got in there, I could do some shit. But,
and
you
bring
know.
More tokens.
Exactly. Yo, yeah. Like the woman that the city told me, she goes, well, she goes, when I had my first review after 6 months, she went, well, she goes, you just have all these Hispanics working for you. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, well, most of the people that you hire are Hispanics. And I said, what do you care? I've done the total thing for your department. I've hired all the Hispanics that you've never, ever needed. You know, now you can meet all of your requirements for your department. You know, I mean, yeah, don't take a job if they're not going to pay you what you're worth. There'll be another one. You just need to trust in yourself that there will be another one.
And with that amazing statement, we're going to come back. We're going to go back to our papas enchiladas and continue eating. And we're going to do what we do best here in La Casa de la Judy, is to watch some good Netflix. Because that's our routine. I go to school. I come back around 8. And then we just start watching Netflix for a couple hours.
We've watched a lot. Well, thank you. This was fun.
This is amazing.
Thank
and again,
you, everybody. Latinos Who Lunch. Hello, Justin. Hello, everybody out there.
And you're truly an inspiration. And you, your presence in my life in this past 10 years completely changed the course of my life.
Aww.
And I truly, truly thank you for that. And with that, I've got to go, because otherwise I'm going to start crying.
I'm crying now.
I love you, Judy.
Love
and
you,
and we'll see you next time. Should be soon.
Bye.
Hi, it's Favi Fav. How's it going, guys? Well, I'm still in Miami, but you know what? I feel good because my blue apron is getting delivered to the Sunken Place Residency. That's right. BlueApron.com is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Okay? And I paused my delivery to my Las Vegas apartment. And once I got settled in here in Miami, it was so easy. I just clicked back on the website, BlueApron.com, and they started shipping it here to beautiful Miami, Florida, the Sunshine State. And let me tell you, I've made some beautiful meals for my roommates here. Shout out to Z1 and Yvette. I made some Cajun chicken, some Italian shit. What else did I make? Oh, and then steak and potatoes. Oh my God, it was delicious. And, you know, Blue Apron uses the freshest ingredient and established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And, you know, people have been asking me, what's going on with Blue Apron? Are you guys still sponsored? Yes, Blue Apron is still one of our sponsors. And check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. Yes, that's right. Free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Latinos. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Latinos. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, I know Babelito said that not everything is about me. I heard him talking shit during the episode. That's fine. But it is about me, okay? July 6th through the 9th. I'm going to be in LA. I have a show right now at the Peterson Automotive Museum. I made a sculpture of the Gypsy Rose Piñata. Check that out. I'm going to be there on Thursday. And then today. And then on Friday, join me at the Palos Verdes Arts Center. I have a closing reception from 7 to 9. That's Palos Verdes Art Center. No sé dónde está esa madre, pero that's where I'm going to be, okay? And then on Saturday, this is for listeners only, okay? Luis from Tamarindo Podcast is going to have a barbecue at his house, and he told me that I could invite like 10 of Latinos Who Lunch listeners. So if you want to join me and Luis and a lot of other people that may have been on our podcast, message me on Instagram. Send me a, you know what? Better yet, message Luis. So direct message Luis from Tamarindo Podcast and let him know you want to join us for the barbecue at his house on Saturday, July 8th, okay? And come hang out. All right, let me see. Oh, and if you're going to be, if you're like Babelito said in the episode, by the way, shout out to Judy. So inspirational. La Judy, I can't wait to meet you in person because we are all going to hang out because I'm going to be in Albuquerque August 14th through the 20th, installing a new piece at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. So catch me in Albuquerque. All right, I've talked enough. Bye.